The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
And this is The Hard Shoulder, Kieran Cuddihy, coming to you live from the Sheraton Hotel in Athlone in the Midlands Northwest constituency for the upcoming European elections, and some of those hoping to represent this constituency for the next 5 years. With me now in our studio, Luke Ming Flanagan, who of course is an independent MEP already and hopes to remain so. Padraig Tobin is a TD, he's the leader of AIM2 and hoping to be elected to the European Parliament. And Maria Walsh, like Luke, a Fine Gael MEP this time, and hoping to remain so too. You're all very, very welcome, and thanks a million for joining us, folks. Maria, I might start with yourself. Mm-hmm. So why do you want to be re-elected? What would you hope to achieve with another term in Brussels?
Well, I'm an experienced candidate with a proven 5 years track record, proudly pro-European, something that's incredibly important in this election than I think any time before. Key issues that I'm looking at, very much focusing on and continuing my work from the last five, is represent our farm families, support local businesses and our entrepreneurs, particularly in the west of the big constituency of 15 counties, increase investment into rural communities. We need more of it. And my work on making mental health a political priority, I want to continue that and really delivering an EU mental health strategy. They're some of the key topics that I'm building, of course, across the constituency, hearing from constituents who are asking me to focus on that in these past five. And we'll
How would you support farm families?
A couple of issues. One, we're getting ready for the next Common Agricultural Policy. So that would be something I'd be working towards along with my Fine Gael colleagues. When I break it down in the work that I've done from my Green Cert as well as my Master's in Ag Extension, a couple of key things that were asked of me is around supporting female farmers. The 60% TAMS grant is simply not enough, and more of that is needed. Ring fence funding for our young farmers, access to land mobility service needs to be funded, very much tying into what we're doing at a national level. We need to fundamentally see greater investment in that. And this period of transition, we have a lot of farmers doing our key asks, and they simply need to be able to provide for the families. They're putting food on our tables right across this country and across the EU.
No. So we have a front page story in the Irish Times today, and you will have heard it reported. So we're going to kind of blow through these 2030 emissions targets. Yeah. Agricultural targets in that period cuts by 25%. The EPA say at best 18%, at worst it'll be a 1% cut, which leaves us staring down the barrel of fines from the European Union. So we either kind of plough on and pay the fines, we ask the EU to kind of let us off the hook, we ask other sectors to do more heavy lifting, or we ask farmers to do more heavy lifting.
I think it's a combination of everything. In particular,
let us off the hook.
Yeah, no.
Well, that was one of them.
I'll just finish that point here. But I think in all the debates that we've had, there's been a blended mixture of our climate goals and then blaming, and certainly the perception of blaming our agriculture community for not doing enough. And they are. I mean, agriculture is on track to hit the 18% with additional key measures like further diversification, finishing cattle, which is about 72% of its target. When you look at other sectors, they absolutely need to do more. I think it's about hearing voices from our farm families. We've seen an explosion of farm families tapping into the acre schemes. We need to see more supports there. But blaming and shaming one sector versus the other is not going to help. And I can tell you this, in speaking with farmers right across the constituency, they're doing tremendous work, but that perception needs to change. And culturally, it needs to change, because if we, you know, as a young farmer told me, farmers are putting food on the table three times a day at least for people right across the EU. So they need as much support as other sectors are getting, and we need to be able to get there and hit our targets together.
Luke Ming Flanagan, with five more years, what would you hope to achieve in Europe?
Well, one of the things I'd like to achieve is I'd like to continue my work on agriculture. And as Maria said, there's a reform of the Common Agricultural Policy coming up in 2027. According to the Farmers' Journal, I had a greater hand in shaping the current cap than the establishment politicians of the IFA, and I would like to get in there and do it again. I was the only one from Ireland at the negotiations the last time. And what I did achieve was I achieved a convergence rate of 85% and also a 10% redistribution mechanism, plus a flattening of the greening payments, which means in total in and around over 130 million euros extra for this constituency. And for those farmers on the smallest amount of money, which were previously on 160 euros per hectare, they will, by the end of this term, go to 242. But what I want to do in the new cap is What I want to do is strengthen that redistribution mechanism, which is put at a minimum of 10%. And what I want to see happen is what they've done in Belgium. They have had it at 22%. And that would mean that the vast majority of the money would go to the farmers on the first 32 hectares. And it would also mean that from the situation that they're in now, it would see an increase of about 60% again on their single farm payment. But one thing that does need to change with the Common Agricultural Policy is the fact that since 2001, in real terms, the amount of money available to farmers has not gone up. In fact, we're at about 1.58 billion euros now. It was about 1.51 billion euros back in 2001. So what I'm looking for is to increase it to 3.4 billion, but I am cognizant of the fact that no new money will be coming from Europe. All of the net contributors don't want to put any more money in. Mm. If they do, I'd support it. But this money needs to come from national government. And you referred to climate. The best way to do something about climate is to use carrot rather than stick. And if we went back to the original amount of money, which would amount to 3.4 billion euros for the Common Agricultural Policy, it would mean that payments to farmers would come in the region of about 22 to 25,000 euro per year. That would free them up to do an awful lot of this stuff. And we hear about simplification of CAP. What would make it a lot simpler is if we gave them a decent wage to do it, and that would give them time to do it. I have never lived on a farm myself. I'm not a farmer, but for me, the importance of this money is utmost. It's the utmost thing for me in this constituency, because every last penny of that money gets spent in local communities. My father wasn't a farmer, but most of the money he got as a carpenter was for putting in fitted cupboards, putting on roofs on houses, putting in doors. And all of this money would be spread among the local community, and it would help.
Impose the restrictions necessary to hit those targets, those 25% targets, those emissions targets, but subsidise the farmers accordingly.
Well, subsidise them for whatever income is lost, but I think it's a bad idea to make anything mandatory. I think it needs to be voluntary with the massive incentive of money to do it. And I have evidence that farmers will do this if they're given the money, because when maturity
is that not? But what you're arguing for is to make farms less sustainable from a business point of view.
I'm not arguing to make them less sustainable from a business point of view.
Employ all of these measures, reduce your output, but don't worry, we'll transfer more money to you.
I didn't say reduce output. Reduce output in some of the dairy sector, most definitely. But when it comes to suckler farmers, and when it comes to the least intensive farmers in this country, and the least input-dependent farmers in this country, what I am suggesting would raise their living standards, and what I've already done has increased their single farm payment per hectare by 50% already. I'd like to continue.
Okay, Padraig Tobin, who is not an MEP, is a TD but hopes to be an MEP. What would you like to do in Brussels with 5 years?
Well, first of all, I want to see the government stop outsourcing things to the EU. So we believe the EU is important. It has a massive role for sure, but there's an instinct, especially in Fine Gael.
Would you not stay in government here then? With a small g.
Well, I do believe that we need self-determination, and that self-determination is really, really important. But if you look at the government, they're outsourcing powers on the EU Migration Pact. They're outsourcing powers in relation to farming. They're outsourcing powers in relation to the military in the future, etc. Even foreign policy now, we have Ursula von der Leyen striding the world stage, distorting Ireland's foreign policy, while we're, you know, just grumbling in the background, instead of actually exercising our own foreign policy in relation to these issues. So, you know, in relation to the EU Migration Pact, nobody knows what's going to happen within the future. We don't know what numbers there will be in the future, or what costs will be in the future. But if we have the right to determine our response to that, we can control those numbers and control those costs. Mm. If we outsource that to the European Union, they will decide all of those figures first.
Now, is that not a bit of scaremonger? Today, Ireland officially recognised the state of Palestine. I doubt that's the policy position of Ursula von der Leyen.
No, like there's no doubt that the government's decision in relation to Palestine is a positive one. And I think they have spoken up strongly first, and I'll give you that. But what I'm saying is they've also allowed that confusion to happen internationally, because Ursula von der Leyen was going
to... Well, they can't muzzle Ursula von der Leyen. They did express an opinion.
They cannot vote for her.
Exactly. So Fine Gael wants to return her to that position.
Kieran, we're not hearing why he's running for Europe, which I think is a key point.
That's a very significant point. on the farming issue, and this is really, like, most of the probably people listening to the show are probably listening in cars at the moment, okay? Many of them will be traveling an hour and a half back home. Ireland is a spatial development plan gone wrong. We have an emerging city state where people are commuting from Ulster, Connacht and Munster into Dublin on a daily basis. The average age of Letterkenny is now 10 years older than the average age of Balbriggan because the government is funneling investment continuously into the Dublin region at the cost of the Midwest. And the North Midwest region is now called a lagging state. That means in the time that these MEPs have been in power and in the time that Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and the Greens have been in power, the average income in this region has actually fallen below the EU average. Now, the response to that is actually investment into infrastructure. So, for example, the infrastructure to Sligo from Galway, that Western Rail Corridor, it would actually be cheaper to build one to finish that Western Rail Corridor than to build 1 kilometre.
So you want to be an MEP? You want to be an MEP so you can build a railway line from Sligo to Galway?
I want to see investment.
I suggest you probably have the job.
I want to see the investments happen to make sure that happens. And I also want to see actually it easier to grant fund in infrastructure in the Midlands Northwest. I would like to see a border innovation zone so that the border region, which has been hampered by the border and now Brexit, gets the necessary grant funding that actually can bring enterprise into there. Yeah. Because just one final point, if you go into many of these towns, and this is like one of the things that will shock people, especially from the Dublin region, is so many of these towns are hammered with dereliction of buildings. We have every second building in many of these towns and villages empty in the middle of a housing crisis, which is nearly the same as having boats leave the country full of food in the middle of a famine.
Thank you,
Luke.
Yeah, one thing that farmers do want is to get a fair price for their product. We had an opportunity to do that in the last mandate with the Unfair Trading Practices Regulation. Unfortunately, when that was going through, it was made voluntary for the processors to get involved. Those amendments that weakened that regulation came from the EPP. And what farmers want is to actually get a price for their product. And when I hear people talking about simplification of CAP, during the last CAP negotiation, we ended up with a situation where every member state, and Belgium got to do two strategic plans, specific plans tailored to each country. And now I'm hearing that things are too complicated for farmers, and they are in many areas. And one of the reasons is because of the way the schemes have been put together by this government. We hear about acres. We hear about these different schemes and how complicated they are. They were devised in Ireland and put together in Ireland, and they can be improved in Ireland. And in conjunction with the Commission, we can actually end up with a CAP that is more understandable and not the complicated one that we have now.
For the uninitiated, the EPP is the European grouping that Fine Gael, so Maria's party, are a member of. Maria, you wanted to jump in there.
No, I just wanted to jump in because for those listening, we'll hear probably one or two key issues that we debate and discuss at a European level. There's an excess of 20 committees. We cover everything from how products and consumers consume to equality. I worked on the equal pay to eradicate the 14% pay gap for women, between men and women right across many sectors, to, as I mentioned, mental health, to the CHIPS Act, the Digital Services Act, there is, as well as climate. So there is an exceptional amount of work. 70% of what we work on comes back to this country. And it's incredibly important that we send people who want to work right across the political groupings. That's why it's important that we sit within the EPP group and we work with centre parties who want to be there, who want to work on EU issues that impact the constituency that they represent, as well as other member states. And perhaps those who are running to focus on national issues should stay at national level.
So just one of the national issues and the European issues is energy at the moment. Okay, so everybody again driving home today, they're going to be hammered with actually fueling their cars on those long commutes. We have a government that's obviously increasing the level of excise and carbon tax on our fuel at the moment, and we have one of the highest electricity prices in Europe. Now, one of the excuses the government gave in terms of not being able to reduce the price of electricity, they said because in Europe, electricity is coupled to the price of gas, while we were making the argument that it should be decoupled and actually be tied to the actual cost for the generation of that electricity. A lot of it is coming from wind. But the government said, no, the European Union won't let us do it. So what I would like to see is actually the European Union actually start to free up the space so the countries can actually tailor laws to actually suit the needs of those countries. Another example would be in the terms of housing. So the EU have a limit in relation to the amount of budget this government can spend on building infrastructure and building housing. Now that is designed for the right across Europe. Other countries don't have the same growth patterns as ourselves, or the same housing crisis as ourselves. So I would like to see a little bit of flexibility in the terms of the EU rules on our budgets to allow us to spend more on the capital side, the housing side, to make sure that people can get houses. Even on the Airbnb, and I grant Maria that the EU has changed just recently on this, but in with regards to Airbnb, this government was hamstrung for a large period of time in actually regulating Airbnb more strictly to reduce its impact on the housing market. Because, you know, we were saying that we were trying to make sure that more short-term rents could get back into the long-term rents, but the EU said, no, you can't interfere with the market. And again, that's another example where we think that that power should be brought back to the nation state.
Luke?
Yeah, Maria said that we do cover other areas. Of course we cover other areas. And one area I've been focusing on is market surveillance regulation. And I've been focusing on it from the point of view of defective concrete and how this government even still cannot reassure people down along the western seaboard in Donegal all the way down to Limerick that when they're building their house, it still won't contain deleterious material. And there's a reason for that. It's because this regulation, while it has been transposed, it has not got the funding. And the Market Surveillance Board have been very, very clear in this country that they haven't got the funding and that there is actually a crisis. And the report that was produced by the Petitions Committee was very, very clear that we need a massive change. We needed a situation whereby market surveillance is implemented on a proactive rather than reactive basis. So it certainly covers different areas. And I have to say, while in the area of defence and other areas, my scepticism is still strong. But when it comes to agriculture, I definitely would have found more friends in DG Agri. And when it comes to helping the people of Donegal, whose houses are falling down because of this government, they have got more justice from Europe than they have from Ireland. So it certainly covers a lot of issues. But for me, a lot of times people go, what one thing would you be voting on this time? Well, there's a lot of different things you could be voting on. But one thing we do know is, if people vote for Fine Gael, they will be electing people who will go in there and vote for Ursula von der Leyen. Likewise with Fianna Fáil, because they are together when they form these things in an alliance, we will end up with Ursula von der Leyen. And I have to ask the question, does Ireland want that? And the fact that we have recognised the state of Palestine is absolutely wonderful and it's great news. But it is sending mixed messages to call for a Palestinian state while at the same time supporting someone who actually called for unconditional support of Israel and now has led to this situation where they have created a genocide. She has not backed down.
Maria.
And do you know what? Sick, Maria. Sick.
Well, with the greatest... I'm not even going to say that. This has been asked to me several times and I've publicly made it known several times. I don't agree with her initial response to October 7th. Do I agree with her outlying calling Hamas a terrorist organisation? Yes, actually, quicker than many colleagues in the left group, actually. And what we need now is a strong Europe that are going to cover and work on for the next 5 years.
Key issues like security.
Hang on a second here, because that's absolute ludicrous. When you look at the likes of the Commission overall, first and foremost, the deliverance for this small member state that both of you seem to want to protect our sovereignty versus working in the EU. When you look at the fact that we came out of COVID had vaccines coming into the country, PPE care coming into the country, you can very much thank the Commission and how they handle that. When you look at the climate goals that we have and the fact that we are working across the 27 member states, when you look at the gender-based violence islands...
Absolutely going to shoot past those climate goals. Of course,
those that are anti-Europe running in Europe, how are we going to ever? How are we going to get to climate? How are we ever going
to
reach our climate goals? If we don't,
this is the instinct of Fine Gael and the government is to sign up to projects that we can't fulfil. So they signed up to those figures, and we're going to get fined big style if we don't meet them. Okay, they've signed up to.
So we're better staying on. Ireland's periphery between two third countries and actually working across Maria's the government. 20 Maria's seven member state bloc.
Tabrona, Maria's government is in court currently defending Ireland from breaching its commitments in relation to bugs. In Derry Bryan, we've paid 17 million euros in fines in relation to that, and yet they want to sign up to the EU Migration Pact, which we won't be able to fulfil either, and which we will have to pay significant fines over. Now, just
working towards it for the next 2 years across the 27 member states.
On the point of sovereignty in this, and I will say that if Maria, when she's asked about Ursula von der Leyen, she does a good job in saying, I don't really support her. But she won't go as far as to say, I won't vote for her. And that's where there is an inconsistency. Yes, exactly. So there's a dissonance. There's a dissonance in your position. You don't support her politics, but you will vote for her. And that's because of Fine Gael's alliance with the PPP.
I didn't support her initial... I have not supported, and I publicly say this, her initial reaction to what happened against in Israel. I'm very publicly clear. What is happening now... What is happening now... Without Fine Gael in the EPP, we would have had... let me tell you how Europe works. We have a very split division across the EU. Very different culturally.
Maria, do you support Ursula von der Leyen on the EU Defence Union?
I support us not being a country that's... We're military neutral. So
do you support her project on the EU Defence Union? Do you support that?
Maria, are you happy with the direction of travel? Are you supportive of where we are moving towards... from a defensive point of view in the European Union and Ireland's participation in EU battle groups as opposed to the overseas UN peacekeeping missions that we have been more used to?
I think we have to get real about where we are as the most west periphery of the European Union. The fact that we have a low recruitment drive, the fact that our defence forces need exceptional investment.
The government's
Can I just finish my point?
Better
the
finish
fact
the point.
That as a reservist who served for a period of time in the Curragh, I understand the absolute magnitude of work our men and women do. We cannot, considering we are a cyber security, cyber financial, we have a number of social media platforms here, sitting and having a voice at the table versus
I appreciate that, Patter, but
why we're protective.
See, let Maria finish her point.
Why we are military neutral, and that will not change until the Irish people decide otherwise. We cannot be found wanting when it comes to supporting our country security-wise.
I find it interesting to hear Maria describe how the European Parliament works and Europe works. The way I see it works is, if you're interested in agriculture, you try to get on the Agriculture Committee. If you fail to get on the Agriculture Committee and you're interested in it, you attend meetings. Maria, you have never, ever attended an Agriculture Committee meeting.
Okay.
110 of them in the last 5 years. And if you're interested in it, you would attend it. Likewise, I'm not a member of the Petty Committee, which you constantly said when I was trying to help the people of Donegal. But that didn't stop me organising a mission to Donegal, organising a situation where we ended up with a report, working with the committee members, because you can go to any committee anytime.
I want to go back to Patter, but that is a very specific charge to Maria. So I just want to let Maria just respond to that very specific point of non-attendance.
This is what makes me laugh when debating MEP Flanagan. Because he and I both know how committees work. I'm a part of a Fine Gael team. I actually really worked hard to try and get on Agri Committee 5 years ago. I've attended several Agri Committee meetings when it talks to female farmers, mental health farmers. I put in amendments to the committee. I didn't see MEP Flanagan sitting at the Justin Home Affairs when we were debating migration. I didn't see him at the...
What's a mental health farmer? Can you explain what a mental health farmer is?
But
someone who has suffered from depression, can you tell me what a mental health farmer is?
We are jumping around here a little bit, but I just want to address one issue. So just the government's record on defence. The government spent more on press statements from the Department of the Taoiseach in the year before the National Cyber Security Centre got attacked in terms of the cyber attack, than was actually being spent on that centre, which is quite incredible. We can't float our naval boats. Men and women are leaving our defence forces in massive numbers because the government won't pay them.
So up the defence budget.
The biggest threat to the defence of this government right now is the Irish government. So the second thing I would say is The T-shirt,
and if they ramp up that defence budget, you won't be jumping up and down screaming about neutrality.
Right now, the defence budget is about 2.5.
Of course you will.
No.
You need to pay these people.
Very briefly, I have
a
strong record in terms of standing up for the defence forces and making sure that they're paid. Right now, the state spends 0.025 on defence, according to our GDP. They're talking about building it up to 2%. There's no chance of even getting near to that at the moment. But the critical issue here is the Taoiseach wants to get rid of the triple lock. The Taoiseach wants to get rid of the Irish veto on military affairs. Ursula von der Leyen wants to make next Parliament about the EU defence union. There's no doubt in anybody's mind that the European Union is moving towards a defence union, which will put Ireland into a military bloc. Military blocs and small governments do not work.
We're a military neutral country. Unless the Irish people decide otherwise,
you're pulling every
that will not
European
change.
Army, we're
change.
Not military neutral anymore then, will we be?
What European army?
Yeah.
Well, PESCO is the beginnings of a European army. And for a long time, people were saying, no, it isn't, and no one is interested in it. Now we've had senior figures within the EU have said that they want to move in that direction. I wouldn't support it. Call it what you want. It's like saying to my wife, I'm not married to you. I'm in a permanent cooperation with you. No, I'm married to her. Likewise, PESCO is the beginnings of this. But can we talk
about a durable relationship, maybe? Is this a durable relationship?
Should we not be at the table in these discussions around defence when we have multiple social media platforms, when we have cybersecurity issues, when we have to the point we need to ensure our defence forces are funded and fully staffed?
About fisheries?
We're actually tight on time, I'm afraid. Because I know, it is an important issue, and I'm not being dismissive of all of those people who make their living in the fisheries industry up and down the coast of this country, particularly the northwest coast. So it is something.
Small scale fisheries.
Now you've got the plug in for the small scale fisheries.
Yeah. When I said we had no time, I meant we had no time.
Luke Ming Flanagan, Independent MEP, Padraig Tobin, Leader of AIN2 and TD, Maria Walsh, Fine Gael MEP. Thank you all very much for joining us.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.